Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world that obviously don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news and apply it into my daily living so that I can become, well, light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into our show today, it is time for viewer mail. Got a package just today, actually. Got a package, and I opened it up. And what is in it? It's a book. And, well, what is the book about? Oh, yeah, it's a book about cats. I get a lot of stuff for Stormy, you know. Stormy is the star of the show here. What do you say? What else we got? Oh, we got a Stormy toy. Somebody's a cat lover here. Let's see what else we got. We got, oh, Stormy treats. Oh, yeah, she likes that. She's a big fan of Temptations. Oh, and here's a note. It's from Carol Wagner. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate that. And on behalf of Stormy, may I just tell you that she is a big fan of you and loves to receive your gift. What do you say? We quiet our minds and put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, we spend so much time running here, running there, doing this, doing that. How often do we just stop and think to ourselves, what am I doing? Where am I going? The good news about the good news is God wants to lead you, and He does it through the quiet voice. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Today's gospel is all about that quiet voice. And my prayer for me and my prayer for you is that God will speak to us very powerfully today. Because it does it in many ways, but one very powerful way is His Word. And that's what we're going to do now. So what do you say? I quit yipping, and we calm ourselves down, put ourselves in the presence of God so we can hear His Word. We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of John, 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Jesus said to His disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak what He hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify Me because He will take from what is Mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is Mine. For this reason I told you that He will take from what is Mine and declare it to you, the gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, calling the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So the other day, I was sitting in a coffee shop, And as I was drinking my coffee, I couldn't help but overhear the conversation at the table next to me. And I overheard this man say that he was handing over his daughter to the knife. And I thought, whoa, am I overhearing a murder? But after a while, it became clear that he was talking about a surgery, and a very risky surgery. And although he was full of doubt and a whole lot of worry, he loved his daughter so much that he was turning her over to the knife, hoping that along with the skill of the surgeons, she would be saved. Now, the reason I bring this up is to make a point. It's all about context, my friend. It is all about context. If I had not continued to listen in on that conversation, I would have thought that something really bad was going on. Which is precisely the reason why I'm not a fan of texting. There's no nuance to a text. How often I will read a text and I'll think that somebody's angry. Or I'll think that somebody's making light of a serious situation. But then when I get them on the phone and have what is called a real conversation, I realize that I was wrong. And you know, truth is very much like that. Recently, I was watching this video on YouTube. It's this thing on the internet. And it was a Harvard philosophy professor. And he was given this lecture. It was a large auditorium filled with students. And he was posing an ethical question. And all these hands kept going up and opinions were being offered. And the opinions varied significantly. And as the camera was panning to the faces in the crowd, I couldn't help but think to myself, these are our best and brightest students in the whole country. I mean, this is Harvard. Yet when confronted with this ethical question, their answers varied dramatically. And as the students, you know, made their positions known, they seemed to rise above opinion because, of course, it did, because this was their truth. And you could just see it in their eyes. I'm right, and of this, I am sure. Bringing to mind a conversation that Pilate had with Jesus just before he was crucified. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Whoever belonged to the truth hears my voice. Now, if you recall, Pilate had responded, truth? What is truth? Boy, that's a question, isn't it? We live in a world where truth has become relative. We live in a world where truth has been reduced to an opinion. Just like the students in that auditorium, truth varies. And when we hear a truth that differs from our truth, we allow our predisposed disposition to block what we hear. And in the end, we hear nothing. So what is truth? Can it be known? I got to tell you, in and of ourselves, not really. I mean, I'm quite sure that that auditorium, filled with the brightest students we have, when grappling with that ethical question, they could have debated for 100 years and never come to a consensus. And you want to know why? Because each and every one of them had one thing in common. They were convinced that they were right, the masters of their own truth. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth hears my voice. The truth. Not an opinion. Eternal, absolute truth. The truth that formed this universe. The truth that formed every cell in your body. The truth that is absolute and complete and can withstand any argument. The truth. How can we know this truth? How can we know the mind of God? The late physicist Stephen Hawking proposed a theory. He called it the theory of everything. And the theory of everything proposed that man can know all things through science. Through scientific method alone, man can know all truth and see the face of God, which is ironic given the fact that Stephen Hawking was an atheist. But getting back to that question, can mankind truly know the truth? Can we know the mind of God? Well, welcome to our gospel today, because that's what it's all about. The spirit of truth, a spirit that will guide you to all truth. Our gospel today falls in what is known as the Upper Room Discourse, which is found in the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 13 and running all the way through 16. And I have to say, it's really the heart of the good news. So if you're not really a Bible reader, if that's not your thing, but you're curious, you would do very well to read John chapter 13 through John chapter 16. Our gospel today appears in the 16th chapter. The disciples have just heard devastating news. Jesus is going away, and where he's going, they cannot follow. But before he leaves, he gives them a mission. They are to proclaim the gospel to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind, these men are vastly underqualified. I gotta say that if I was hiring disciples and going through resumes, these guys wouldn't even get an interview. Simple fishermen with zero education, no rank, no standing, and in a country despised by most other countries, they weren't even respected in their own country. And now Jesus is telling them that they will be brought before rulers and kings for his sake, and that they will be persecuted wherever they go. You think about that. I mean, would you sign up for that? Meanwhile, he is telling them at the same time that he's got to go away, and where he's going, they can't follow. So they are to go on proclaiming the good news, but without him. Like children without a father, like soldiers without a general, the battle is beginning and the captain is leaving. So that's the setting. A lot of fear, a lot of confusion. Everyone who belongs to the truth hears my voice. Truth. What is truth? Once again, that's the question. Can we know? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, we were talking all about how the disciples have just heard some very difficult news. Jesus is leaving, and where he's going, they cannot follow. And to make matters worse, Jesus has just informed them that they were going to be persecuted, expelled from synagogues, even suggesting that they might be killed. So naturally, they're a bit nervous, certainly confused. Now, just before our gospel today, Jesus had said, "Because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts." Because, of course, it had. But then he goes on to say, "But I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit." Then it gets very specific as to what the mission of this Advocate is. And when he comes, He will convict the world in regards to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. So, whole lot here. Let's look at this. Jesus is laying out a threefold mission of the Holy Spirit. Its job. Number one is to convict the world in regards to sin. That's the number one job of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, to convict our hearts of sin. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to tell us what we don't want to hear. And there's nothing warm and fuzzy about that. And it is diametrically opposed to how so many of us view our relationship with God. I mean, think about it. Satan is the great accuser, not the Holy Spirit. Yet Jesus is making it very clear that the Holy Spirit's job is to reprove us. That means to convict us of our sin. But for many of us, we don't want to hear this. This is not a popular message. It certainly seems to fly in the face of what you're going to hear at the Jesus Seminar, which is all about spiritual renewal, which is all about improving our conscious contact with God. And don't get me wrong, this is a very good thing. But let me tell you what, my friends, if that three-day seminar began with, hey, let's all get in touch with our shame, what are you hiding? I doubt a whole lot of people are going to show up for the afternoon session, you know? I mean, because let's face it, we do all we can to hide our sin nature. But the truth of the matter is, it is only once we become in touch with our sin nature that we are inspired to repentance. And repentance is the hinge upon which the door of the good news swings. Repentance is the keystone of God's will. From the very beginning, this has been the case. We hear it from the banks of the Jordan with John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Right there. And Jesus picks up that message, and without changing even an iota of it, carries it all the way to Calvary and beyond. And now he's saying that it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world of sin and righteousness. So this is very interesting because he's linking sin and righteousness together, which seems a bit odd, but I suppose it makes sense because it is only once we locate our sin that we are motivated to repent. And it is only once we repent that we have the opportunity to be clothed in righteousness. And it is only once we are righteous that we are reconciled to our Heavenly Father through the blood of the cross. Do you see how that works? That's why Jesus died on the cross. This is what he gave his life for. He died for our sins. This is true. But he did not die for the sins of which we refuse to repent. So, the Spirit convicts us of our sin. Not to shame us. No. But to bring us to a place of repentance, because it is only in the repentant heart that the Holy Spirit can move and make you righteous before God. So, when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts the world in regards to sin and righteousness and condemnation. So before we get to the condemnation part, let's talk about righteousness. That's the big word, righteous. Don't hear that word too often, righteous. It's a righteous guy. How can we be righteous before God? Well, I guess it all starts when we allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. This is true. But do we allow that truth to work through us? Does his truth transform us and affect change in us? Is there any renewal? Can't have revival without renewal. Or is John 3:16 just a get out of free jail card? Get out of jail free card. Is the Holy Spirit working in my life? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to do its job? Like I said, no revival without renewal. And where does it begin? Well, it begins with conviction, getting in touch with your sin nature and repenting. I mean, think about it. It only makes sense. If you're not convicted of your sin nature, then why would you need Jesus in the first place? So the number one job of the Holy Spirit is conviction. Number two job is to teach you the truth. But there's a third job of the Holy Spirit, and that is condemnation. And that is not a popular message. But the ruler of this world has been condemned. The Spirit comes to condemn the ruler of this world. Jesus calls him the prince of the world. We know him as Satan. Of course, you might not believe in the devil, but that's okay. He believes in you. And like a cowboy running cattle along a fence line, he herds you at will. And Jesus is very clear about this. If you belong to him, you will be condemned with him. And while Scripture has a whole lot to say about this, you're never going to hear this at the Jesus Seminar because people don't want to talk about it. No, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about an all-loving, all-forgiving God. Nobody wants to hear about condemnation. We want to create a God that we are comfortable with. So what ends up happening is we create a cafeteria Christianity where we can take what we want and leave the rest. But Scripture is very clear. If we refuse the gift, we will be judged. That is the truth. It's not my truth, and it's not your truth. It's the truth. And how can we know the truth? Well, we find the answer in our gospel today. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, talking about the Spirit now, Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. That's the promise. The Advocate, which will teach you all things. Doesn't that sound good? Well, the good news about the good news, my friends, is that is available to you today. Imagine that you just intuitively knew exactly what to do in each and every given situation. That is what the Spirit does. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak of what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So, what glorifies Jesus before the Father? I'll tell you what glorifies. The message of salvation. That is what glorifies Jesus. And what is the message? In case you forgot, repent and believe in the gospel. That's the message. Receive the coat of righteousness of which you do not deserve. And as you stand shrouded in that righteousness, carry the message to this fallen world. Because the ruler of this world is condemned. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that I will take from what is mine and declare it to you. That is the Spirit. And what does he have? The truth. That's what he has. A truth that defeats all objection. Now, of course, at this point, the disciples, they don't get it. I mean, they wanted to get it, but they don't get it. Not yet, but they will. They will. When a strong wind came, tongues of fire. Oh, yeah. Talked about it all last week, Pentecost. They got it then. Sure did. And when Peter stepped out on the balcony that morning, what did he say? You have killed the righteous one. and you stand convicted. And they knew he was talking the truth. They knew that was true. And so when he was finished, they all cried out, and what shall we do? And what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Because that's the promise. This is the gift, the truth that will guide you in a world where truth has become whatever we decide is going to be. The Spirit of truth is the real truth. It will guide you through this life. And that, my friend, is a beautiful thing. Yes, my friends, the Spirit of truth, it's available to you today. And if you're wondering whether you have the Spirit of truth, just ask yourself this question. Do I feel convicted? When I sin, do I feel it burn in my soul? Does it quietly poison my spirit? Now, as bad as that might sound, it's actually a good sign. You have a spiritual pulse. I guess the only question left is, what are you going to do about it? Repent and believe in the gospel. Receive the Holy Spirit. Clothe yourself in righteousness. And in that moment, Jesus will be glorified. And you will become part of his crown. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.